More private jobs lost. This story sure sounds familiar.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. It's the Morning Open, a time when we take a minute and check out the numbers and then ask what's affecting the U.S. economy at the moment. Unemployment continues to make headlines, and GM continues to make changes. That's coming up. First, where's Wall Street? Markets here at home are pretty much mixed. The S&P flat, the NASDAQ up about 0.25%, the Dow down less than 0.1%, down about 3 points at 10,468. In Europe, things pretty much mixed there as well. The DAX is down, FTSE down, but the CAC 40 over in Paris is up just a bit. Asian shares, by the way, were up today. Hong Kong tech down about 0.8%. U.S. businesses shed 169,000 workers in November, worse than expected, according to employer servicer ADP. We're going to get some analysis this morning from Richard DeKayser. He's president of Woodley Park Research with us live from Washington this morning. Hi, Richard.
Good morning.
Seems like small business is taking the biggest hit in this report. What's it going to take to reverse that trend?
Well, to get small business hiring again, we have to work on this credit crunch, which is still very restrictive. Now, the Federal Reserve has been throwing money into the banking system, but lenders are still reluctant to pass it along to businesses, and that's probably what it's going to take in order to turn this around.
So getting credit going, I mean, we've got this job summit at the White House this week. How much can the government do there?
Well, it's actually done quite a bit. I mean, really, the principal job of the government is to promote growth of the economy. Once the economy starts tipping up north of 3% real GDP growth, businesses will no longer be able to satisfy that by squeezing productivity out of workers. They'll have to hire, and that's really the big issue, just promoting growth. A lot of other tinkering may be helpful on the margin, but the bottom line is growth, and that's where all the efforts should be focused.
You know, Richard, I may be dreaming here, but is there any chance the unemployment rate, we're going to get this report from the Labor Department on Friday, any chance the rate will dip below 10%?
There is a chance, and there have been some weird statistical flukes. For example, the past 2 months, September and October, saw extraordinarily large losses in the measures that are used to calculate the unemployment rate. Really aberrant. They're inconsistent with everything else we've been seeing. So it is possible we'll get some kind of a reversion towards more normalcy and see a modest dip in the 10.2% figure that we saw in October. But that's far from a sure thing. We'll have to see the number on Friday.
All right, Richard DeKayser, thanks.
My pleasure.
The Federal Housing Administration is expected to propose tougher rules for mortgage borrowers today. The FHA has insured nearly a quarter of all new home loans this year, but it is running out of cash. Marketplace's Amy Scott is with us live from our bureau in New York. Morning, Amy.
Good morning, Steve.
So what kind of changes are we looking at?
Well, Housing Secretary Sean Donovan is scheduled to testify before the House Financial Services Committee today, and he's expected to propose a few changes. People who take out FHA-insured loans will have to pay more money up front. Their credit scores will have to be higher. The FHA also plans to limit the amount of money that sellers can kick in to entice buyers.
And why the changes, Amy?
Well, FHA-insured loans have really helped prop up the housing market, but delinquencies on these loans are rising, and a recent audit showed that the FHA's cash reserves are dangerously low. So the idea is if borrowers have more money invested in their homes, they'll be less inclined to walk away. I talked to Susan Wachter, a professor of real estate at the Wharton School. She says these are necessary changes at the FHA.
The downside is that they are the support of the housing system right now, and fewer potential borrowers will be able to get loans.
That means less demand for houses at a time, of course, when the market is still fragile.
All right. Marketplace's Amy Scott with us from New York. Amy, thanks.
You're welcome.
Seems like General Motors keeps hitting the refresh button. CEO Fritz Henderson is out and Board Chairman Ed Whitaker is in. He takes over the executive chair for now. But who's next in the corner office? GM often promotes from within, but one analyst says it need only look across town to Ford as a model. It brought in an outsider to head up that company.
What appeals there is that you have somebody who is relatively new to the sector, relatively new to the company. And kind of brings, I guess, a great degree of objectivity.
Mark Fulthorpe is with CSM Worldwide in London. GM may have a tough time recruiting. As a majority shareholder, the U.S. government limits how much the company can pay its executives.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report for Wednesday, December 2nd, 2009, at marketplace.org. The National Retail Federation says online traffic on Cyber Monday was up 8% over last year. So with all that mouse clicking, a lot of merchandise is moving. And as Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson reports, that bodes well for the people who make that happen.
At a FedEx sorting facility in Manhattan, a truck has just arrived from Newark Airport. Dozens of workers are fanning out beside a long conveyor belt, sorting, scanning, and putting the packages into smaller trucks for delivery. Just look at the workers' faces and you can tell this is going to be a good year for FedEx. After all, when you buy something online, someone's got to bring it to you.
FedEx expects to process about 13 million packages this year on our busiest day, which will be December 14th.
FedEx spokeswoman Jennifer Cacavo.
Last year, this time, we were looking at about 12 million packages, so we're looking at about a 1 million package increase year over year.
FedEx plans to hire more than 10,000 seasonal employees to deal with the influx. Its bigger competitor, UPS, is hiring 50,000. Neither company would break down exactly what percentage of this year's business will come from online shopping, but we do know the Great Recession will make 2009 the biggest e-commerce season ever. Sucharita Mulpuru is an analyst with Forrester Research.
We expect web retailers, on average, to do 8% better than they did last year.
That's in part because price-conscious consumers are able to do more comparing online. It seems there's no better place to bargain shop.
30% of consumers in one of our recent surveys said that they're actually going to be going online more during the holiday season in order to make sure that they're getting the best deal possible.
The online retail wars have played out in public with Amazon, Walmart, and Target vying for consumers. And it turns out the number one tactic e-tailers use to lure them is, you guessed it, free shipping. Retail analyst Marshall Cohen is with the NPD Group.
Two things that consumers look for, the ease of purchase and free shipping. And free shipping doesn't only mean just one way. A lot of times they're looking for those retailers that are offering to take the goods back for free as well.
And whether it's consumers or retailers paying to fly those packages around the country, the end result is what you might call winning one for the shipper. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
Here's a byproduct of global trade in the Midwest. Cargo ships from Asia have brought over a species of fish that are causing some big headaches. So environmental officials in Illinois are going unconventional to save a multi-billion dollar sport fishery. Chicago Public Radio's Gabriel Spitzer reports.
It's called the Chicago Sanitary and Ship Canal, and Illinois is poisoning it in order to save it. Philippa Cannon is with the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. She says the real target is the Asian carp.
They would be almost impossible to control once in Lake Michigan and could quickly spread throughout the Great Lakes.
These non-native fish eat so much, there's a danger they could starve out the locals. That would risk sinking a fishery worth $7 billion on the U.S. side alone. Right now, an electrified barrier keeps the carp out of Lake Michigan. But the barrier needs maintenance. The poison is supposed to keep fish from sneaking through while engineers do their work. Fishermen are worried poison may not be enough to keep the carp out.
I'm known as Captain Al, the fisherman's pal.
Al Skelicky runs three charter boats on Lake Michigan. He dreads a carp invasion.
If they take to the lake, I think it would all be all over. It'll take the sport fishing industry out.
Scientists aren't certain the Asian carp would be so destructive. No one's sure how they'd behave in the Great Lakes. But fishermen say they're not interested in taking the chance. In Chicago, I'm Gabriel Spitzer for Marketplace.
Remember REO Speedwagon, the classic rock band from the 70s and 80s? Well, it wants to stay relevant in these times. So it's coming out with a video game today. Marketplace's Jennifer Collins reports.
REO Speedwagon has teamed up with a video game producer. The goal is to keep sales alive. The band's new game leads players on a kind of treasure hunt. Naturally, there'll be reminders of REO's music and members. Tom Standage covers emerging technologies for The Economist.
And this is a sort of game that's particularly popular among older, particularly female players. And that's clearly the demographic that they're aiming for as a band that was best known in the 70s and the 80s.
The New York Times reports the band is using the game to promote its Christmas album and tap alternate sources of revenue. But before you bring your ship into the store, keep in mind the game is only available online. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
When we pick a charity to support, many of us look at the so-called overhead ratio to help us choose. That's the difference between what a charity spends on what it does and what it spends on administrative costs. But that may not be the best way to judge a charity's effectiveness. Ashley Milne-Tite has more.
Conventional wisdom says the more money a charity spends on programs and the less on overhead, the better. But Timothy Ogden of donor website Philanthropy Action says that way of thinking hurts charities.
Overhead ratios are killing the industry because every year that donors focus on overhead ratios, the charities get less effective.
Because he says when donors pressure charities to spend less on overhead, they can't do their work properly. He says just think about all the important stuff that officially counts as overhead.
It's hiring qualified and experienced staff. It's quality accounting and tracking so that they know that their funds are being spent well and going to the right places.
Without all that, he says, charities can't have much impact. He says they should be judged on their effectiveness. For example, website myphilanthropedia.org uses nonprofit expert reviews to judge how well a charity is doing its job. Ogden also says donors should contact charities directly and ask them how they measure success, then decide whether to give. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
If you want to see how some websites are using a different approach in evaluating charities, check out our website, marketplace.org. This week, utilities that invest in or operate nuclear power plants are meeting in Florida, sort of a renaissance period for nuclear power. But the industry still has a long way to go before it cuts a ribbon on a single new plant. Here's Marketplace's John Dimsdale.
The U.S. generates 20% of its electricity from nuclear power. Growth in the industry stalled after the meltdown at Three Mile Island 30 years ago. But now, with climate change a priority, Roger Gale with the consulting firm GF Energy says nuclear is a necessary and clean energy source.
If we want to sustain the lifestyles we have and aren't ready to reduce our demand and change the way we live, we need nuclear.
U.S. regulators have 22 applications for new nuclear power plants, but the costs are still prohibitive.
We're dealing with $8 to $10 billion per reactor.
Ellen Vanko at the Union of Concerned Scientists says the private sector isn't ready to risk that much investment in nuclear energy. And she doesn't think the government should subsidize construction of hundreds of new power plants.
The industry claims that the current generation of reactors is an improvement. And that remains to be seen. They need to build them. They need to demonstrate a few. And we need to see how much they're going to cost and whether and what safety issues arise as a result of that.
But nuclear advocates are looking for approval of government loan guarantees early next year. They say that will trigger construction of more than a dozen new nuclear power plants in the U.S. I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
And finally, what to do when you and your pet have to navigate through layovers and security lines? The world's busiest airport, Fido, now has a place to stretch and get some business done. Atlanta's Hartsfield-Jackson International built a fenced-in area for dogs just in time for the holidays. The grassy area features flowers and rocks, a sort of home away from home. What's that, Fido? Yeah, that security line's for real. You better pour out that water bowl. Good boy. Hey, check us out online, marketplace.org. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.